When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello and welcome to the Karma You podcast. This is your host, Chloe Brotheridge. I'm a coach, a hypnotherapist, and I'm the author of The Anxiety Solution. Thanks so much for joining me. This week, I'm talking to mega monk Haemin Sunim, who is the author of The Things That We Can See Only When We Slow Down, which sold about 4 million copies worldwide. He's also just released his second book, Love for Imperfect Things, How to Accept Yourself in a World Striving for Perfection. And that's out now. And I talked to him about what mindfulness is and a simple technique to incorporate more mindfulness into our lives. We talk about why people pleasing is an issue. And I know from my own experience and also from chatting to loads of you that people pleasing is a big problem for many of us. It holds us back. It creates a lot of anxiety. So we talk about that. And he also gives his best advice for self-acceptance. So I think you're going to love this episode. I just love the sound of his voice. It's calming just listening to him, to be honest. And just a reminder that my online program for anxiety launches on the 4th of March, 2019. And you can keep an eye on your emails. Sign up to my newsletter at karmayou.com/free if you're not getting my emails already. And also have a look on my Instagram around that time if you're curious about whether joining this program could be for you. And it's going to be bigger and better than it's ever been before. There are going to be live calls with me. There's going to be group support. So I'm going to be putting people in small groups on the course so that you can support each other and really have that accountability and small group support to help each other in becoming the calmest versions of yourselves. So it's a course that is designed to help you to become your calmest and most confident self. So without further ado, let's get into the episode with Haemin. So thank you so much, Haemin, for joining me today. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Can you tell us, for people that don't maybe know who you are, what it is that you do and how you got to where you are today?
I'm a Zen Buddhist monk from South Korea. When I first became a monk, I thought that I would just, you know, have to sit, meditate, and become enlightened. But as I was, you know, living in a Buddhist monastery, a lot of lay people wanted to come and talk to me after the service. So I ended up having a lot of teas with them. And while having teas, they were asking me about, I have this problem with my friend, with my co-worker, or with my daughter, or my boss, I have this illness, I don't know what to do, you know. So they've been telling me, you know, all this kind of stories. So I was beginning to listen, you know, and attentively, and you know, I tried to listen very compassionately, and it made them feel a lot better. So as I was engaged in this kind of conversation, I was inspired, and I start writing on my social media, and then it became a bestseller book, and my first book was called The Things You Can See Only When You Slow Down, which sold roughly like 4 million copies around the world. Wow. And now I have another book, Love for Imperfect Things, which just came out in the UK last week.
Brilliant. And I've read it and I absolutely loved it. And I think it's going to be so valuable for people. What can I ask, what made you become a monk? What led you to take that path?
When I was very young, I was interested in this huge, you know, topic, you know, who am I? You know, why am I here? You know, I don't know whether you have that feeling. I feel like I was thrown into this world when I you know, came to realize that, oh, why am I in this world, you know? So with that feeling, I started reading a lot of philosophy book, and especially Eastern philosophy book. I was very much drawn to it. And then I became very interested in religions. So I start, you know, majoring in religious studies in the U.S. And then at one point, I realized that, you know, in order to really experience it for myself, I have to actually become a monk and really get the proper training. That's how I decided to become a monk.
I'm sure there are people listening that can relate to that idea of not feeling of this world almost, or not feeling that they can maybe too sensitive for this world or confused about what life is about. And I stayed in a monastery once in Dharamsala, and I met Richard Gere happened to be there visiting the Dalai Lama. So that's my one experience of Buddhism, but I did enjoy it.
I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Can you, in the beginning of your latest book, you talk about the problem with trying to be good. Can you explain about that and why that is a problem?
You know, while I was growing up, my parents or, you know, my teacher, they all told me that, oh, you are good students. You are good, you know, you are a good boy. So I try to, you know, be a good boy by listening to their advice and following what they are asking me to do. And so I was very, you know, agreeable and very meek and introverted and quiet boy. But when I was, you know, graduate student, you know, I realized that in a group assignment, because I was saying yes, yes, yes to everything, you know, I was ended up doing all the difficult work, you know. So all the easy work was assigned to some other, you know, students, but I ended up taking very difficult, you know, challenging work all the time. And then because I was getting exhausted, and then I didn't know what to do, I was talking to my friend, and then he told me that, you really have to be good to yourself first, you know, rather than trying to be good to other people. So I think there are so many people try to please other people while neglecting the overall well-being of ourselves. So I would like to gently remind them we have obligation to take care of ourselves first. Just like, you know, we are, you know, when we are riding on an airplane, you know, we are advised to take the oxygen mask first before assisting others. I think it is so true.
I think that's such a good reminder. And unfortunately, so many of us put other people first. And it often is due to this conditioning in childhood. We're told, oh, you're a good girl. Well done for, you know, getting top marks at school, or you're so helpful with your sisters. And it starts in childhood, and then that can just carry on in later life and really affect us.
Absolutely. And that was exactly the case for me as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And yeah, I love that you really talk about this message of being good to yourself first, and that being the key to making sure that you can be the best for other people and making sure that you're happy first, because we can't help other people unless we take care of ourselves first.
Absolutely. You know, I think I was getting older, I felt a little bit more comfortable, you know, saying no to, you know, some of the really demanding requests. You know, earlier when I was young, I tried to just make them happy, you know. However, now I feel I have much more confidence to say no when it comes to a really difficult task they are asking.
Can you explain about what mindfulness is? Because we hear a lot about mindfulness, but I think lots of us don't necessarily completely understand what it is or what it means to be mindful.
Being mindful means that you are not trying to change things, whether it's your thoughts or feelings or sensation. Rather, you want to be mindful of them, you know. Mm. Your intention is to understand, you know, what it is there. So for example, you know, let's say I became like angry, for example, then rather than I completely, you know, lose myself in the emotion of anger, I become mindful. Oh, there is an anger arising. Oh, how interesting. So I take a step back, you know, and then become, you know, capable to look into the anger, you know. So rather than identifying myself with anger, I look at them and become mindful that it is arising. Then what happens is, you know, as soon as you become aware of it, then the energy of anger changes, you know, by itself, you know, without me trying to make it go away. It just automatically changes within 30 seconds or 2 minutes, you know, maximum. Then it disappears slowly. So all we need to do is just become aware and become mindful of that.
Because so often we're not aware. We might be feeling angry for 2 hours before we get so caught up in it, and almost as if you're, I don't know, in a daze or something of that emotion and don't even notice that it's happening. How can we become more mindful? How can we actually do that?
I think it's easy to cultivate it. You know, for me, whenever I am in any kind of emotional pain or in conflict with somebody, you know, when we are in this painful situation, then it gives us more motivation to look at my own mind. You know, what's happening? You know, what are the causes? You know, so when you look at it much more objectively, without any kind of judgment or without any kind of identification, you know, with that whatever that you are, you know, observing, then you will notice that your perpetual, you know, thinking, which feed into those emotions, that process stops slowly. So you don't have to believe in your thought. You know, thought arises and disappears, but if we do not give so much power to our own thought, it just goes away, you know. Oftentimes we think thoughts are reality, but it is not the case. You know, thoughts are just the thoughts, you know. It may not be true.
I think that's such an important point for people listening with anxiety or depression. The thoughts can seem so true, especially when you're beating yourself up or you're feeling like you're not good enough or thinking badly about yourself. And actually, we just need to step back and be aware that it's just the thought. And I think that you said in an interview I was watching earlier today about remembering that we're the awareness and we're not the feelings and thoughts. Can you explain that? Because I thought that was a really interesting point.
Right. We often identify ourselves with, you know, our thoughts, emotions, or with our body, you know, the stuff that we can see, you know. So I call that a manifest self. You know, the aspect that has been has a form and shape. However, you know, underneath those, behind the manifest self, there is a very quiet, you know, being that becomes aware of those manifested self. So rather than identifying yourself with the form, there is a formless, you know, awareness that becomes aware of all those different aspects of your imperfection, for example, you know. So if you are aware of your imperfections, rather than identifying yourself with those imperfect aspects of you, identify yourself with the being who is aware of those imperfections.
Yes.
And this being is very peaceful. And this being is not tainted or polluted by the manifest aspect of you.
So it really is about connecting with that inner part of ourselves that is observing and is quiet and is able to observe the imperfect parts of ourselves without knowing that that is us, really, that it's just a thought or a feeling. Why is it so hard? Because I speak to clients every day who might be perfectionists. They're overly focused on the things that they feel they're doing wrong or being hard on themselves. I think being hard on themselves, that is almost a universal thing that I see in people. They're much too hard on themselves often. Why are we like that? Is there a kind of a reason? And is there anything else that you think we can do to accept ourselves more?
I think, you know, try to be good at something. I don't think there is anything wrong with it, you know. Only problem is, you know, if when you are, when you become almost neurotic perfectionist, obsessing, you know, about the what you perceive as a perfect, you know, and so keep ended up putting a lot and lots of hours just to make it right. I give this example, you know, where I did a little bit of radio DJ, you know, Buddhist, you know, radio network in Korea. When I first did that, I worked about like 6 months, you know. I remember my first show, you know, when I did it, somebody told me that I should speak in a low voice because a man's low voice is much more appealing and trustworthy and, you know, whatever. So I tried to, you know, speak in a very particular way, but after pre-recording the whole show, I, you know, asked my producer whether I can listen to it, and then after listening to it, I wasn't very happy, so I asked my producer to record, you know, all over again, which I did, and then I asked him to, you know, may I listen to it, so which I listened to it, but some parts of the, you know, show, I wasn't very happy. So I ended up recording that, you know, show again, that part again and again and again. And then at some point, my producer said, you know, Haemin Sunim, I respect you, but we cannot tell the difference, you know. So this is all in, it was all in my head, you know, nobody cared, you know. So, and then in the meanwhile, I was, you know, making my producer stay in the studio until like 9 p.m., you know what I mean? So, which was unfair to him, you know? So, we often, when we are, you know, obsessed about imperfections, it can easily ruin, you know, our relationship, and, or we may not make the, you know, deeper connections with our body. You know, we often do it completely exhausting ourselves, you know, our health. So I think we need some balance.
Yeah, I think, well, firstly, I don't think anyone likes the sound of their own voice when they hear it on a recording. I think we all think, oh, is that what I sound like? So not being so hard on ourselves and having that balance, and knowing that actually most people don't notice the things. If we're critical of ourselves, most people don't even notice those things that we are obsessing over or overly focusing on. One thing I really wanted to ask you was about the things that we see when we slow down, because I think a lot of people listening are going to be thinking, I never slow down, so I don't even know, what do we see when we slow down? Can you tell us a bit about that?
When we slow down, we can enjoy things more, you know, like let's say you slow down and while you're having a cup of tea, for example, then you can actually taste the tea, you know, you can, you know, sense the sensation of, you know, holding the warm cup, you know, and enjoy the atmosphere, you know, you become a little more relaxed, and you can have the fuller and more enjoyable experience. So even if you are sitting in a 3-star Michelin, you know, restaurant, if your mind is not there, or if your mind is too busy thinking about your work, thinking about your, you know, family, then you cannot enjoy the process at all. I usually recommend that if you cannot take time to slow down, you can simply smile. You know, if you smile, what happens is your facial muscle relaxes, and your heart, you know, it becomes slower, and then you can take a deep breath, you know. Yeah, so like take a 3 or 4 deep breaths, and then automatically it slows you down and brings your mind to the present moment. And when you are in the present moment, all the good things are here, you know. You can enjoy the beautiful weather. You can enjoy the, you know, happy meeting that you are having with your friend. So that's my recommendation.
I think unfortunately most of us are going through life so quickly that we miss so much. And I think probably lots of us are thinking, right, January's nearly over already. Where did it go? I've been on the go the whole time and I haven't been able to slow down enough to actually enjoy things. And so taking some deep breaths, smiling, having the intention to go a bit more slowly, I think is so, so important for all of us.
And I think you are really, right about having intention. As long as we have the intention to enjoy what is in front of us and bring our mind to the present moment, then it becomes much easier to practice. So even if you do it for 1 minute per day, for example, it's gonna change your life.
Yeah. So just having that intention and being mindful for 1 minute a day, or are there certain practices that you would recommend for people to do? So smiling, breathing deeply, anything else practical that people can do in order to slow down or to have more love for their imperfect selves?
Right. Well, one of the easy way is when you are eating something, try to really taste the food. We just often just swallow without really tasting it. So taste the food, and also when you walk around outside and look at some beautiful trees or sky, clouds, and just enjoy the temperature. How does my body react to those to the weather? For example, if you are walking around, imagine that your feet are kissing the earth. So you are just kissing the earth. So like a little thing we can do to bring our mind to the present moment like that.
I love the idea of kissing the earth with our feet as we're walking. And that's something that people can do while they're on the go, while they're, going to their meeting or going to work. It doesn't, meditative practices or mindfulness practices don't have to be sitting down with your eyes closed necessarily. It could just be a mindful walk or something like that that could really help. One thing I wanted to ask you is about relationships. And in your latest book, you talk about how relationships are the hardest thing in life. And I would agree with that. I would definitely agree. What can we do to improve our relationships?
I think, one of the most difficult challenge we have when it comes to relationship is we want to change people, We want to change our husband, wife, children, our parents, our coworkers, We want them to change, to the fashion that I like, to the way that I like. However, I think, rather than demanding those changes, we should try to understand, where those differences are coming from, how come they behave like the way they behave. For example, if you have if you're in a relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend, whatever, then what happens is they are coming from a different family. The different family has a different way of doing things. He thinks or she thinks in a certain way because of their particular upbringing. So rather than judging them and telling them this is wrong, I would advise people to look deeply and what are the cause. And once you begin to understand them, your heart becomes softened. You become more understanding and you find a little more space to tolerate those difficult aspects.
That's so important. So instead of just getting annoyed with someone that's different to you, actually looking deeper and thinking, why are they this way? What has made them this way? I'm just thinking about my boyfriend. He doesn't like to be told what to do because as a child, he was told a lot what to do. So I have to be quite careful and quite compassionate to him that I'm not telling him what to do too much because it brings up his sort of irritation and things from the past. So yeah, I can definitely relate to that one. That's really powerful. Thank you. If you were to give one piece of advice for people listening, what advice would you give to them?
If you feel you are unworthy, you know, if you feel like I am full of imperfections, you know, rather than believing in your thoughts, investigate, you know, where that judgment came from. Is this thought I believe in this thought, perhaps because this is what I was told when I was very young from my parents or from my brothers or sisters or from my teachers. And unconsciously, at one point, I just internalized those comments and start believing in their comments. However, those kind of comments are coming usually from the speaker's own unworthiness, you know? They are not happy with their own life, and therefore they are judging other people based on that particular category. So it may not be a reflection of yourself, especially when you are young. Like, how can you be, judged so harshly? So I think rather than trying to say, oh, those are my flaw, and see if you can celebrate, see if you can say, yes, I had some imperfection, but that's what makes me a human. That's what makes me so unique. When I first went to U.S., my English, had a lot of accent. I still do, and for a long time, I was very ashamed. I felt very, I felt very uneasy about my own accent. However, at one point, I realized that, of course, I have an accent because I am from Asia. I did not grew up in the U.S. or in the U.K., and I'm bound to have my own accent. So rather than feeling ashamed of my accent, I tried to celebrate, once I becoming much more comfortable with my accent, I realized that other people also feel very comfortable. But the opposite is also the case. That is, if I become very, very, conscious about my own accent and feeling very uncomfortable and uneasy, then people will feel uneasy because you feel uneasy.
I love that idea of really celebrating our imperfections, because in society it can often seem as though, I don't know, we seem to think that it's possible for us to be perfect. And of course it isn't. No one is perfect. No one has ever been perfect. And so to actually celebrate that and to know that it's okay, it's part of what makes us human, and to really embrace that rather than beat ourselves up about it is very powerful, I think. Another thing that I was reading in your book was about, and again, something that everyone was going to relate to, you tell a story about being told to do something by an older monk. And I think you write about how in your mind you started to feel irritation about being asked to do this thing because you were already doing another task and he'd asked you to sweep up. And I think we all do that, don't we? We are told something and we make up a story in our minds and we go into, I know I find myself sometimes having an imaginary argument with somebody that probably will never happen, or, going over and over, almost obsessing about what someone has said. What can we do about this? Because you were able to have some awareness and sort of turn that around. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, one of the chapter I talked about it in my Love for Imperfect Things, my job in a Buddhist monastery was to do to work in a kitchen. So I was working very hard in the kitchen with other monks. But this old monk came up to me and asked me to sweep the stairs, and then I was irritated because if that was the problem, then he should be the one who's doing the sweeping, rather than pushing that work to junior monk like me. So I was a little bit irritated, and I was keep thinking to myself, without becoming fully mindful of what I was doing, my thought keep on going on and on and on, like, wow, he's not a good monk, this is not what he's supposed to do, couldn't he see that I'm working really hard here, where am I going to find time to do this, all of that. So, but once I started sweeping the stair, it took me less than 5 minutes. It was really easy task. And I realized that I could have done it without this self-chatter, making my mind very negative and unhappy. If I just simply do the, cleaning of the stair, then it could have been, it wasn't such a huge thing. But I made myself, drag myself into very negative emotion because I was just overthinking about this.
So we create a lot of suffering for ourselves by overthinking or just going over things in our minds or battling against something, which it'd be just easier to do it often or to accept it than to have that mental battle. So I suppose, again, it's about stepping back and being mindful of when that's happening. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. One thing you talk about as well is about listening and how listening is a really an act of love. Can you tell us about that and why you think listening is so important?
When you are interested in somebody, when you are in love with somebody, then it means that we can actually pay attention to that person attentively, without any kind of judgment, without any kind of preconceived ideas. So if you can, listen very attentively to your loved one without those kind of, negative quality, then your loved one can talk about anything and feeling that, whatever I say, I will be accepted, I will be understood. And that's the essence of love. You feel deeply connected without being judged, fully accepted. So in order for that to happen, I think we should just listen compassionately without any judgment.
Yeah, so that's one of the greatest gifts that we can give to people, actually, is just listening, being loving, listening without judgment. I think often we get so caught up in, what am I going to say? If we're having a conversation with someone, we think, right, what am I going to say to this person that's going to impress them or please this person? And actually, listening is the best thing that we can do.
Absolutely. And we usually like our friend who are good at listening. There are a lot of people who are good at talking, about their lives. But I think, we value people who are much more allowing the other to shine.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me. It's been really, really interesting. Thank you. And I definitely recommend people listening to check out your books, particularly the latest one, Love for Imperfect Things. So thank you so much. And yeah, great to chat to you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you got some value from that and some tools and tips that you can be using in your daily life. Let me know on Instagram what you think of this episode. Come and find me at Chloe Brotheridge. Send me a message, and I'd love it if you would consider sharing this podcast with someone else that you think might benefit from it. And if you're listening on iTunes, please do take a moment to leave a review and give me a rating. You think it might not make a difference, but it really, really does. So please take the 2 to 3 minutes that it would take and leave me a review, and I would love you forever. So thanks so much for listening, and sending you loads of love, and hope you have a great week.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.